Well, I think they've got to really try and stop the rot, because, you know, it's just becoming almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at the moment. And I was at the game the other night, and they started off very, very brightly. Probably should have scored after a minute or two. But the more opportunities they spurned, the greater you could see the confidence draining out of the team. And in the end, they were hanging on. And a bit disappointed. I thought the last 10 minutes, they just resorted to long balls and hopeful balls in the box. And when Longford were just sitting deep and instead of trying to work things out. So Ollie knows his squad probably better than I do, but, you know, one of the questions I'd be saying is, look, you've got a proven goal scorer with experience and Martin and McHugh. Get him on the pitch. You know, you've got to get him on the pitch, get him in the box. He came on the other night, but he was put on the midfield. You know, I would have him working in the 18-yard box and just trying to pick up bits and pieces. And there was one or two balls that sort of spurned about the box the other night that I'm sure, you know, if he was on, he might have got his foot to them. So,
yeah, well, funny, that was one of the questions I was going to suggestions going to make to you, as to maybe he did come on, as you say, but perhaps on a little bit longer, because he has that knack of putting the ball in the net, and then that's an asset that's hard to pick up, and not too many have it.
Well, it's not, and he's got young Keaton in there who he's brought back, but he looks low in confidence, and as Scully came on, and Scully had a couple of times again, he looked low in confidence. But Kevin's vastly experienced, and, you know, the one thing he can do is he knows where the back of the net is. So I found it a bit baffling if you've got somebody like Kevin on the bench, that when you bring him on, A, you're right, you should have brought him on a bit sooner, especially when you need a goal. And when you do bring him on, you bring him on into the middle of the park. You know, that's not his game, and he certainly probably doesn't have the legs to get from there into the box. You've got to get him on the park where he's going to be a problem to the opposition. And I'm quite sure, irrespective of what his fitness situation is, you know, I'm sure there's 25, 30 minutes in him every game, and I'd be trying to utilise that and going to him for his experience and his leadership, and trying just to drag the team over the line, because it is getting difficult. And the next three games are Cork, Pats and Galway now. You know, Cork and Pats, I think, will be difficult. Galway are beatable, but they're having a reasonable season, and it's away from home, so that's not going to be an easy game. And the longer this run goes on, probably the more confidence down in Wexford that they're getting, that they can maybe try and get that wee bit closer. And you don't want to be playing Wexford Youth with, you know, 3 points in it or anything like that, because that makes it a massive game.
Yeah, I suppose it's let's be clear as to how it operates. The bottom team are automatically relegated, the bottom team in the Premier Division, and second from bottom will be playing the winner of the playoff, which is between the second and third at the top of the First Division. So it's important that you finish at worst third from bottom of the table. And at the moment, Finn Harps are on 23 points, Wexford Youth on 19 points. Harps have an extra game to play, but with the way they're playing, I suppose, it doesn't seem of great benefit at the moment. And you're talking about Harps having 8 games left to play, Wexford Youth 7, if I'm correct in my analysis of the table.
Well, Wexford Youth is 7, by Harps of 8. And look, the one thing you don't want to do is, as you say, you don't want to get into the playoff, because, you know, Harps benefited last year from playing a Limerick team that was used to getting beat, and Harps were used to winning. And when it comes to playoff games, that confidence, that mindset, very, very important. I've always said you've always got to fancy the team coming up in the First Division, because they've been in a much more positive frame of mind. They've won more games and they're used to winning, and they need to avoid that at all costs. And Harps have to be thankful for the great start they've had to the season, and that's just keeping them hanging in at the moment. What, for me, they seem to have got away from is, certainly early this season when I watched them, they were a real threat from set pieces. They had a real purpose to what they were doing in those areas. That seems to have vanished from their game, you know. And even the penalty kick the other night, young Keating, he struck it. It was a weak penalty. It was a tame penalty. But there was other players on the pitch. Houston was having a particularly good game. You know, why he didn't lift the ball and put it down, it seems to me that a lot of the players now, the confidence is rock bottom.
Yeah, it's a worry. And playing, as you say, Cork City, that's on Monday. That's tomorrow evening at Finn Park. 8 o'clock start for that one. Can the supporters out there be of much help to a Harps team?
Of course they can. Listen, when you're at home, your supporters can always make a difference. And the other night, unfortunately, the supporters really didn't help at all. There was a very lackluster atmosphere, and the longer the game went on with Harps not scoring, you could sense the nervousness even in the crowd. And I think, look, supporters have to turn back and realise it's imperative and it's important that the club stay in the Premier Division, and they can certainly play their part. There's no point going to the game and not getting behind your team. You're better off staying at home. Mm-hmm. If you're going to the game, get behind the team, remain positive, understand that the players are trying their best, the management are trying to prepare the team their best, and that you can certainly help, particularly when your team is on a bad run. That's when you need your supporters. Anybody can cheer a team when they're winning. Any fool can do that. But the real genuine supporter needs to get behind the team in this sort of situation. Get off their chairs, go to the game tomorrow night, and make it as difficult and as noisy for Cork. And it's going to be difficult because Cork City have the league title in their sights. They're chasing Dundalk, so they're not going to come and give it up easy. And the fans can make a difference.
They played Shamrock Rovers there on Friday night as well, and won 3-0. They're really up for the European experience this year, so it's going to be a crunch game. But it is one of those games that perhaps Harps can hang on for a draw.
Well, listen, that's Harps right now have to try and pick up one or two points before they play Wexford, and then they beat Wexford, and that's everything safe. But to be honest with you, I think it'll be particularly difficult against Cork because they really have got the bit between their teeth. They're full time, so their preparations will be immaculate. They've got a real potent strike force in Maguire and Shepherd. They're not conceding goals. They've got good experience at the back. This is going to be a very, very difficult game. However, that's what the Premier Division is all about. Week after week, you're being tested. You're playing quality opposition, and over the season, the teams that are full-time, the teams that have the bigger budgets, will always outperform the other teams. Harps have to find a way of getting another 4 points somewhere.
Moving on to Derry City, playing Wexford Youth away from home. They drew 0-0. Derry playing reasonably well. They're third in the table, but that was of no benefit to Derry City, and certainly no benefit to Harps either, that draw.
No, it wasn't, and Derry, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have thought Derry were quite comfortable in that third European position, but they're now only 3 points ahead of Rovers. Rovers have a game in hand. So Derry have been very mixed form recently, old win and drawn, and Patterson's goals seem to have dried up, and that'd be a worry. They've obviously got the Cup semi-final to look forward to, but I'm sure that Kenny Shields would like to ensure that they can guarantee European football via the league. So again, it was probably a disappointing result for Derry, but as you say, a positive and a boost for Wexford, and that's the difference right now between Wexford and Finn Harps. Wexford seem to be picking up points wherever they can.
Mm-hmm. You could say the same in relation to Sligo Rovers, inconsistent, well beaten by Bray Wanderers, and I presume they're out of the hunt for top three position in the league anyway.
Well, they're out of the hunt in the league, they're out of the cup, so basically their season's over, and you can see that in the form and in the team, and you can sense it when I was at the Showgrounds last week. You can sense the atmosphere is very much, let's just get the season over, and it's a disappointing season. They've underperformed. I think some of the players they've brought over haven't quite adapted to this league. You know, they're still relying on the likes of Rafael Cotero as their top scorer. So it's been a very, very hit and miss season. Sligo never really got going. They had a wee bit of a run in the middle, but again, those inconsistencies have come back to haunt them, and it's probably one of the seasons that they can't just wait to get over.
Let's look at the international scene. Big games and World Cup action coming up. A draw the last time out against Serbia. But Seamus Coleman announced as captain during the European Championships. And the Dublin pundits, particularly Eamon Dunphy, not terribly keen, I suppose one could say, on Coleman being captain.
Well, you see, I was surprised by Eamon Dunphy because he's made comments about Seamus, and I'm quite sure he doesn't know Seamus. I think Eamon admits Seamus is a fantastic player. What people don't know about Seamus is that although he's very, very quiet off the park and very quiet in the media, his football personality is full of desire, is full of determination. He's a born winner. He will chastise players. He will criticise players when they need it. So I think he's excellent captain material, because he's going to give no hassle off the park. He's going to give no hassle with his lifestyle. He's a perfect professional, a great example to the young players, and a great example to the players around him. So, you know, Eamon was a bit off the mark there, and I think just because Seamus isn't in the media and talking and being that sort of vociferous personality, his football personality in and around the football club, when you're working with Seamus day to day, when you're training with Seamus, that desire, that determination, that professionalism comes to the fore. So he's excellent captain material, and I think even this week, Phil Neville compared him to Suarez and about how he come from that street football background and that desire, and I know from working with Seamus, he constantly looked to improve, he constantly looked to learn, and for me, Seamus being captain of the Republic of Ireland was a no-brainer, and I'm sure he'll prove to be a very able and a very successful captain as well.
Yeah, he got a very positive start really to the season. Now, he had injury surely, but he seems to be back to his best and scored a good goal on Saturday.
Yeah, I was genuinely worried a bit for Seamus, because last year's season was a bit stuttering through one or two injuries, and again then he started off, but since he's come back into the team, his performance has been top rate, and he obviously scored as well. So the whole thing around Everton, Ronald Koeman seemed to have brought in a new vitality and a new vigour about the place, and you know, they're sitting well deservedly second in the Premier League. So I think if Seamus can stay fit, he can have a big season both at club and international level.
Well, let's continue the talk about the Irish team and the Irish players that are playing in England. I suppose the more that come through, the better for Martin O'Neill. That's if he's staying on, which it seems to be at the moment. But have you seen any of the players do well over there recently?
Well, you know, Kane got a big move to Leeds just on the transfer deadline day. And I was speaking to Ewan during the summer, and he was feeling a bit frustrated at his lack of first team opportunities at Bournemouth. So although he was prepared to step down to the Championship, and I think he had one or two opportunities, but obviously he chose Leeds. He made his debut there during the week, and Leeds had a win against Blackburn, and then they won again on Saturday. And I know that I know people over there. I'm a Leeds United fan, so I know people over there, and apparently played very, very well in both games. So and when I spoke to Ewan, Martin O'Neill basically said to Ewan that I need you playing first team football if you're going to try and force your way in. So I think that's a positive move, because in that central midfield area, you know, at times we're probably lacking people who can get the ball down and pass it and get us playing. And Ewan is that type of player, you know. So I'm quite sure that he'll settle down at Elland Road. I know that he's been buoyed by the move. It's reinvigorated. And he was really looking forward to playing, and he's two games under his belt now. So I'm quite sure Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, whoever else, will be there watching him, and that'll be a good player to come into the squad, and I'm sure he'll be looking to force his way in. So that's got to be positive for Ireland. The more players you can have to select from, and the more players you can have playing at that level, you know, Premier League, Championship level, week in, week out, it's only going to benefit.
Any others showing their hand that might be considered for?
Well, there's a couple of ones, but I think really, you know, it's a different. The World Cup groups for me is not a big place for brooding youngsters. You know, I hear a lot of the people talk about the likes of Stephen O'Donnell and young Hogan at Dundalk getting into the squad, but you know, I know they're having a fantastic season, and I know Stephen O'Donnell firsthand because I brought him back from Falkirk, so. I'm a great admirer of his, and I think Stephen can control the tempo of a game, and his range of passing is top quality. Whether he has the legs and the ability to get a bit of pitch to play at that higher level would be something that maybe he would be lacking. So, you know, those sort of boys, Stephen and Horgan, probably in a friendly or something like that, you'd like to see them maybe get a run. But I think Martin's very vastly experienced, knows what he's doing, and understands that, you know, a World Cup group, you need to build up momentum. You need to build up something behind you to keep going and keep taking every game. And that's why I thought the point away from home was, although people were critical of it, I thought it was a very, very important point, because it started the campaign off on quite a positive note that hopefully they can take into the next two or three games. And as I say, get some momentum behind them, get maybe one or two fresh players into the squad and see where it can go.
Just maybe looking at the cross-channel results from today, Manchester United beaten today again, Watford beating them 3-1. What's Mourinho doing wrong, or does he not have the players?
Well, you know, it's I tipped them to be thereabouts, and you know, for me, Guardiola's come into Man City and has tried to change the way they're playing. But I think Guardiola was starting off from a much better position in terms of the squad strength and the confidence within the Manchester City team. Mourinho's having to rebuild it and rebuild the squad, and it's obviously hit and miss, a bit like sort of Liverpool who've been, and now Klopp seems to have got that going. I'm sure Mourinho's frustrated, and for me it was certainly a shock for them to lose 3-1. I'm just thinking it may have been a bit of a rollover from the European match on Thursday where they lost away from home, and I think it was listening to Kevin Kilbane during the week, and he was talking about when you play it on a Thursday and then play it on the Sunday that you can still find sort of your legs a bit heavy and a bit leggy. You know, it's not an excuse, because the players and the clubs like Manchester United have the best facilities for recovery, but you know, mentally it's draining when you're travelling away, you're travelling back home late, you're then maybe off the next day, you're maybe doing some recovery work, and then you've got a day to prepare for a game. And I think anybody knows that there's no easy game in the Premier League, and if you're not as from the first minute, then any of these teams can beat anybody on their given day. So although it was a bit of a surprise, probably in the scoreline, you know, I think there's reasons behind it. But I'm very, very sure that, you know, he'll come under pressure there very quickly if he doesn't start turning things around and the performances don't stack up, because that's now probably two or three iffy performances back to back. So it'll be interesting to see how he reacts. You know, I think his reaction after the Derby defeat wasn't the best. Sometimes he's a habit of turning on his players, and that didn't work at Chelsea, and I certainly don't think it'll work at Manchester United either, you know. But look, he knows what he's at. He's at the psychology part of the game, he's a genius. And I still think, you know, come the end of the season, that they'll be there in the top four, and they'll be back in the Champions League, which is probably what their target is, I would say.